除了邀请海外专家，我已委任两位新成员加入监警会。
On Wednesday, Hong Kong's chief executive Carrie Lam announced that her government would withdraw the highly controversial extradition bill that sparked months of massive protests. But the protests have not let up, and in fact, the movement has grown and broadened its demands. Across the world, protesters have also staged rallies in support of the movement in Hong Kong, with the streets of Chinatowns in New York and Berkeley, California, filled with chanting and signs. But increasingly, these protests are being met by supporters of Beijing who are staging counter-protests and defacing protest signs. These clashes represent a divide within Chinese communities throughout the United States and elsewhere around the world. Here to help us understand these dynamics is Elizabeth Kim, senior editor and reporter for Gothamist. Liz, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Give us the latest from Hong Kong. I mean, were you surprised at Lam's latest move?
I think I was a little bit surprised just because the way the coverage has been thus far, it's basically been thought that Beijing did not want to back down because if they back down to one request, what does that mean? So I think it was somewhat of a surprise. But at the same time, the movement has grown to such an extent that it's no longer about this one extradition bill. It's about broader political reforms. So most experts don't expect this one concession to quell the movement. But it will be interesting to see, though, what happens. Does it fracture the movement somewhat? Will there be fewer people? You know, there are multiple things going on at the same time. The school year has started. So a lot of the protesters who are young students are going back to university. What does that do to the movement? So I think there are some lingering questions about what will happen in these coming weeks. And the weekends are basically when there's been the most activity. So starting this weekend, I think that a lot of people are going to be watching what's going on the ground in Hong Kong.
Let's talk a little bit about, you mentioned the protesters are no longer just focused on the withdrawal of this extradition bill. What do we know about how their demands have shifted?
Well, they have a list of demands, and they include political reforms. They want certain changes to the elections. They want to be able to vote directly for certain elected officials. And they've also asked for amnesty for those that have been arrested during this 3-month-long protest.
Liz, this is also playing out in the United States. And to sort of take us there, The Takeaway spoke with Anna Young Chung, who's a professor at Manhattanville College and also an organizer with New York for Hong Kong. Here's what she had to say.
We are still urging for the rest of the 4 requests, and we are not going to back down until we achieve that. So this is overall, we received the message from Hong Kong and also our agreement with it, with the different cities. We still supporting Hong Kong 100% and to request for the rest of the 4 requests.
Tell us a little bit about what Anna's talking about there, because she's here in New York, and this is part of your bigger story, which is really looking at what's happening across the world in terms of Chinese communities that are reacting to what's happening in Hong Kong.
Right. This is an issue that's really ignited Chinese who live all over the world. Basically, they're all watching this, and it really exposes this political rift in the Chinese community, which is very broad. So it's not a surprise that in New York, that in places like San Francisco, in Sydney, in Paris, just anywhere where there are Chinese communities, especially young Chinese students who are very politicized, invested in the future and the direction of not just Hong Kong, but China as a whole.
Liz, let's dig into this a little bit more. I mean, tell us about what the demographic makeup is for those protesting in the U.S. in support of the Hong Kong movement. You mentioned there are folks in cities around the world, but are they mostly younger folks? Are they immigrant communities? Are they newly arrived? Because we know that the Asian American community as a whole is one of the fastest growing here in the United States.
Right. I think it's fair to say that a lot of activity has taken place on college campuses, so which suggests that it's a lot of them are students, and it's a mix of students who are coming from overseas, who are coming directly from China or Hong Kong, And there are a lot of Chinese American students who are invested in this issue as well, because this is something that they've talked about with their parents. They've visited China or they've visited Hong Kong. They have relatives there. So they all have a stake in the future of these areas.
What kind of protests or solidarity actions are you seeing across the country? Is it actual protests in the streets? Is it online organizing? Like, what are the ways that students are, and other folks are really trying to make their voices heard?
So basically, it's mirroring what's happening in Hong Kong, but on a much smaller scale, I would say. So in Hong Kong, you see a lot of activism that's being done through social media. You see a lot of rallies. You know, there was a rally that drew 1.7 million people, which is what organizers were estimating. And you also see this phenomenon, which is called a Lenin Wall. So a Lenin Wall, for people who don't know what that is, it was a wall that originally began in the 1980s after the assassination of John Lennon here in New York. And it was built in Prague. But then what happened was spontaneously that wall turned into this site for pro-democracy expression among students in Prague. So since that time, this concept of a Lenin Wall has been borrowed by other groups, other pro-democracy groups. And most recently, it was used in Hong Kong in 2014 when they had another pro-democracy uprising.
We also know, and you found in your reporting, that there have been counter-protests here in New York in opposition to the pro-Hong Kong protests. What does that look like and how widespread are those?
So last month, there was a rally that was organized by pro-Hong Kong activists here in Chinatown, which was not a surprise because there is a very large community of expatriates from Hong Kong. And like I said, a lot of, you know, families who've been living in the U.S. for generations with connections back to Hong Kong. What was surprising was that on the same day, they saw a counter-protest directly opposite them, where there were many people holding Chinese flags, holding up signs that said things like One China, fake news. And then there was a little skirmish, you know, towards the end. Basically, that's kind of mirrored what's been happening in Hong Kong. And then the other incident that has been happening more frequently is with Lenin Walls, not only in New York, but in places like San Francisco. There have been vandalism of Lenin Walls. The Lenin Walls basically started out as just people putting up post-it notes, artwork in support of the activists in Hong Kong. Then what happened was they began being defaced or being destroyed. People started tearing down those post-it notes. And then in the worst case scenarios, they started scrawling over them with their own graffiti or their own, some of it was profanity. So it's been this back and forth where counter-protesters will try to take down the wall, and then the pro-Hong Kong activists return and try to then revive the wall.
Elizabeth Kim is a senior editor and reporter with Gothamist. Liz, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you so much.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.